There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
We're back.
Hey, everybody. It's the Purple Pill Show.
This is
yes,
it.
Yes, it is. This is it.
The pee-pee show. His foot.
No.
You hate that.
No.
It's fine. It's the Purple Pill Show. Pee-pee show.
No. No, it's the Purple Pill Show, Purple Pill Podcast. This is the show where we suspend our beliefs on what was and what is, and we use our imagination on what is and what could be. So we can transcend the matrix, hack the 3D, and exit the Truman Show. Because there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and timeless as infinity. Man, that opening is great. I can't believe we haven't been dinged on that yet. I mean, no one's.
We'll be getting rolled soon,
right? No one's been sent us a letter saying, "Don't use it anymore." And no one telling us, because what would we do?
Be careful, man. You might manifest something.
Oh yeah, right. We're so fortunate to. We were in the kitchen. We were just kind of outlining the show.
Yeah,
and it just spirit was just. This Blowing. Is the theme song. This is the theme song.
Oh, that was trippy. I remember that.
Right. Gosh, I'm like, oh, wait. We were at the table. It was like in front of each other. I'm just like, wait a minute. I know what we should use. And then and then I hadn't heard it in years and really like listened to the what he's actually saying. And then when we heard it, the fifth dimension, 5D, we're always talking about it.
Yeah.
That's funny, dude.
Like that was it.
Yeah.
What were we even going to use before that? Do you remember?
We were thinking like some instrumental or maybe a square pusher.
The Sonic Youth thing. Or something like that.
Some kind of
I don't know.
Opening thing.
But yeah, that one's just right on point.
Love it.
And everybody, I mean, anybody knows it.
Oh, we heard from some listeners and some new listeners. And they were saying, you know, I'm listening to your show, I like it. But I wish you would explain some things you guys talk about. You know, like the Mandela effect, just that term, you know, people aren't following the thing is that we have season 1, 2, and 3, right? And so the idea behind that is if you skip to season 4 in Game of Thrones, you're going to be pretty confused.
Oh,
right?
Real confused.
Right, right. But Game of Thrones isn't, I mean, they do a little bit of a recap depending on what's going to be in the episode, but you know, you're supposed to listen in order, season 1, 2, and 3. If you really want to know what's going on. So it's like, I don't know, maybe I should, if we're going to do a Mandela effect, I should explain what the Mandela effect is, but.
Just a couple sentences. Yeah.
But maybe I'll just do it anyway.
I mean, it's not hard to just, you know.
Yeah.
Someone can look it up too. Most people have Google, I think.
Anyway, if you want to know what it is, you just go to the episode that's Mandela Effect and listen to that, and
then
you'll know going forward.
Yeah.
I just, it's fine.
Did you have a new one? Are we going to do another one?
No, I don't have one. A personal one? No, we're just going to get right
into it. I know at one point we were going to do that, like a Mandela, every episode or something.
Yeah, we were going to. And we did a lot of them. But then I kind of get the feeling that sometimes, and we're going to still do them, but just when Spirit tells me to, when it speaks to me.
Right.
You know? The fact, you know, I don't want to put pressure. I have to come up with the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
I have to do this. I have to do that. Then because that's when things become work.
Yeah. And it just gets monotonous.
Right.
And, yeah.
You know, this is art. All creative expression is art, no matter what it is. And so in order to do good art, create good art, you've got to be in the moment. And you've got to kind of flow.
Improvise and free forming.
Right. And you got to float with what spirit is telling you.
You know? You have a lot of freedom doing that.
Yeah. So, no, we will do more. But that was one that just really struck me. That Sirius star is just incredible. I hope everybody has had some clear skies.
Yeah.
And is able to go check it out. Beautiful. Okay. This episode is...
What's this one called?
So this is going to be called Resurrection. Happy Easter, everybody.
In the spirit of Easter.
Spirit of Easter. It's the Easter episode. You know, when you're a kid and all the holidays come up, you always...
It's the dawn of a new age when you're resurrected.
The second favorite thing of the holidays is, when I was a kid, is the cartoons that are associated, right? So you have the Garfield episode for Easter. You have the Charlie Brown episode for Easter. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the Garfield episode for Christmas, Halloween. You've got the Charlie Brown Great Pumpkin.
Oh, I love that one.
You've got so when a new holiday comes up, I used to love the little specials that would come on the television. The Easter special this, the Christmas special that, Thanksgiving special. So
yeah.
I've always wanted to do a holiday episode. And here we go. It's the Easter episode, Resurrection.
Right. And what does he say? You have to be... Okay, so I kind of wanted to start it with this. You have to be born of water and spirit, right?
Yes.
That's in John. So, yeah. Obviously, with Jesus being the most popular kid in school...
Right.
You celebrate Christmas.
Celebrate Christmas.
His birth, born of water...
Right.
And his death. And Easter. The resurrection. Born of spirit.
Right. Absolutely. We're all born of water. The breaking of the waters. And we come out of the womb.
Right.
And then we have to be born of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the download. Which is... And it's born different for everybody.
Yeah.
Which is born again. And you don't know when that's going to happen. And you don't know what it's going to look like for each individual, right? Mine was intellectual.
Yeah.
Yours was physical and intellectual.
Yeah.
And the master's was physical and intellectual for all of us to try to wrap our heads around it, right?
Yeah.
And so since he's born of water and then born of spirit, so are we. Right, just like we said. So Jesus is the pattern for resurrection.
Oh, 100%.
He's the pattern. He's the pattern for life. He's the pattern for love. He's the pattern for forgiveness. He's the pattern for suffering. And he's also the pattern for resurrection. And what does that look like? So what that looks like is every day, all around us is a resurrection, right? Spring, blossom, summer. Kind of going with the flow. And then fall, things start falling apart, start dying.
Yes.
Winter, barren, suffering or death. And then spring. Here we go again. Resurrection.
The new birth, John 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
You can't see it.
And then he goes on to say, "Most assuredly, again, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
And how would you be able to if you didn't get the download, right? If you didn't,
right.
If you didn't get the spiritual awakening, if spirit
knowledge of all things,
right? If spirit doesn't descend on you like a dove,
right?
How are you going to be able to look at things differently? And resurrection is
eyes to see, ears to hear, right?
Right. You got to look at things, you know, what a spiritual awakening is a way to look at things differently. And then when you look at them differently, if you can see it, then you can believe it, right? Seeing is believing.
Yeah.
But it's all about how you look at something, right? And so when you can look at it through the prism of what that spirit gives you, they call them spiritual glasses, and they come with rules. And you can't force anyone else to wear them, and you can never take them off.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you can see it, then you can believe it. And along the path, you can look all around you, like I just said with the seasons, also night and day, right? You got the daytime and early in the morning, it's a little chilly, but then the sun comes out and all of a sudden warming up, right? And gets a little hotter.
Yeah.
And then you got the afternoon and things are kind of, the sun's rays change a bit. It's kind of orange, just kind of getting a little more relaxed around 3 o'clock, getting a little tired, 5 o'clock. And then, you know, you're ready for dinner. The sun goes down and then it's just night, right? Just
black,
is right. Everything, the birds stop singing.
Yeah.
Stars coming, you're just going, you can't see anything.
Asleep.
Right, everything's asleep.
Right.
Right. And then all of a sudden, there's the break of dawn again, right? The resurrection. The resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, he says a lot about sleep.
He does.
Right. And then this is Thessalonians 4:14. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And he mentions sleep many, many times in the Bible, right?
Right.
As in reference to a death, right? Like with Lazarus, stuff like that.
Oh, he's constantly talking about sleep being death.
Yeah.
And sleep. So you got the night, you got the day, you got the awake, and you got the sleep.
Right.
And so throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, whenever someone brings up death, Jesus is like, oh, they're asleep.
Right.
All those people are sleeping.
So, what? In effect, you can argue that you're resurrected every morning after sleep?
Yeah. Right? Right? Because you have the death of the day, and then it's night, and you have basically the end. It's called the end of your day.
Yeah.
Right? It's called the end.
I wonder if that's why AA does the one day at a time thing.
One day at a time, because it's a new life every day, and every day is a new opportunity.
Right.
So when you go to sleep, you have no idea where you're going.
No.
You have no idea what's happening. You're assuming that you're in your bed. You're assuming you're going to wake up in your bed.
Right.
Right? There's no proof.
There's no proof I didn't die last night.
You have no evidence.
I didn't OD on melatonin.
You have no evidence. You have no evidence. Right. You were here the entire time. And then you can say
I can't verify it.
You can't
verify it. Because I was asleep.
You were asleep.
That's
true. You were somewhere over the rainbow.
Right.
You could have died. You wouldn't know.
Not at all. What if someone took a picture of me sleeping?
When you wake up, you're just assuming you are who you are.
Yeah.
And that everything was going. And then you could say to yourself, well, someone took a picture of me sleeping. That doesn't mean anything.
No.
You weren't there when they took the picture. You were dead.
But
you were asleep.
Right. But when you wake up, everything looks in place as when you laid down, you know?
Right.
Everything looks in order.
Right. Well, your consciousness doesn't want to break your brain. But you can't, right. You can't verify you didn't go anywhere.
That's true.
And just because someone took a picture, you can't verify that person's not even you. You can't verify that person even has a consciousness. We've said that many times. I can't verify you.
You can't.
You can only verify your own self.
That's
you can
it.
Only verify your own sentient consciousness. You can't verify anyone else's. For all you know, everyone else is just a image of you, a pattern of you.
You remember when Ambien was kind of a big thing, like in the 90s or early 2000s, and people were like sleeping.
Yeah.
They'd pop these Ambiens and go out and drive and stuff. And
yeah. Like,
they come back or just go for a walk in the middle of the night. Totally. Just totally out.
Right. Oh, no, the Ambien?
Yeah. That was a big thing.
That was a big thing. Remember?
When it first was gaining popularity.
Oh, yeah. What was that commercial? And it showed a person going to sleep and then they're having hallucinations. The little bird that flies around. Ambien or Lumina or what was it?
I don't even know if that's still a thing. I haven't heard
that.
Okay,
the only way I... Even when you're a teenager and you stay up all night and see the sun come up, you know, you should have gone to sleep.
Right.
You don't feel very good.
Yeah, you know that.
You have to get a new beginning. You know what? That's strange because when you're a teenager and you stay up through the night and the sun comes up, mm-hmm. you don't feel like you're getting a new beginning at all. You feel like, wow, this is a marathon. What have I done? I need to get to bed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel renewed. There's no resurrection there. There's no resurrection without sleep. And
right.
So there's no resurrection without sleep. And so when the master says they're sleeping, then there's no resurrection without sleep. So that's why he's equating sleep with death.
Uh-huh.
because you have to sleep in order to have life, up. in order to wake. Right. And if the master's not lying, then why does he keep doubling and tripling and quadrupling down? I mean, people in the New Testament, they literally say, oh, he's dead. And they go, no, he's, and then the master goes, no, he's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't even want to hear it.
Right.
He doesn't want to hear the word death or dead at all. Why is that? Is he being coy?
I don't know, but he is pretty because, adamant about it.
Right, right. Because there is no death.
Oh, yes.
Because it's a false belief. That's why. Because he knows there's no death.
John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what he says.
Wow.
Shall never die.
Anyone who believes in me. So, and this is before.
Is that why he's saying sleep?
And hold. Probably.
Yeah. Because he knows. There is no death.
And then why also is he saying he is the resurrection and the life before
his own
resurrection?
That's interesting.
What's going on there? Okay, so what is it? John what?
John 11.
Okay, well, John 11, so that's before the crucifixion.
When's the crucifixion?
John 18, 19. 18, 19. So this is, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, hold on here. What do you mean you're the resurrection and the life? We don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, giving us, foreshadowing here? I mean, obviously it's foreshadowing.
Easter eggs,
but
is that why they call it Easter eggs? Yeah, is this an Easter egg?
Hey, don't tell me the rest of the story already, dude.
Right, yeah.
Okay? I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone that believes in me will not die. Well, okay, well, I guess we close this book. We're all done here. No, it's but it's just funny that he calls himself the resurrection before there's any crucifixion, anyone. I mean, John 11, I mean, that's not very far down the road here in the story.
Right.
I don't even think he's only told a couple of people he's even going to be given up to the authorities.
Yeah. Just his closest disciples, I think, at that point only knew.
Yeah. So what do you mean you're the resurrection? Hold on one second.
That's funny.
Okay, sorry.
Because we are fun.
So he talks about sleep all the time. And then he also, I wanted to throw this in. It's because when I was talking about, so nature shows us death and life and resurrection, right? Every day shows us, right, with the end of the day and the
sun
night. Sun goes down. Then you have the dawn, the dawn of a new day.
Sun, the rise of the sun. Right.
The death of the sun, S-O-N-S-U-N, the rise of the sun. Yes. And then he refers to death as sleeping. So when we go to sleep and then we wake up, he will wake us up. Okay, he says here in John 11, verse 9, Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. So there it is. There's our analogy right there by the master himself, right? So he's comparing the day and the night to Lazarus, his best friend, dying, or as he says, fallen asleep. But now I will go and wake him up. And then in verse 12, the disciple said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. But this is a strange part in the Bible here that says they thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. Did he though? Did he mean he had died? Because the next verse, Jesus says, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Yeah.
And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. So, so he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go wake him up. Then the disciples, well, if he's just sleeping, he'll soon get better. And then Jesus clearly gets a little frustrated.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, he's dead. You guys aren't getting it.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You guys aren't getting it. Lazarus is dead. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. Yeah. I mean, he's frustrated. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Basically, for now, you will really get what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to say he's dead.
It's like what he did with Thomas after he was crucified and rose again, resurrected. You know, he comes back flesh. And he's right. Like, fine, stick your finger in my wound.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
You no don't one believe, wants to you believe. Still don't believe.
Yeah, I'm here talking to you right. In the flesh, and you don't believe. Here, stick your finger in my wound. Now do you believe? Here, let me eat fish with you. Now do you believe? Yeah. Just no one ever believes.
That's true.
No one's ever believed.
It's the number one sin.
These are the guys that are walking with him.
Right.
I mean, and you know, Jesus meant Lazarus had died. No, he didn't.
No.
He didn't mean Lazarus had died. Otherwise, he would have said it.
Because he knows death is
right, a lie. Is a lie. That's why he calls it sleep all the time.
Right, right.
And then the disciples, well, he'll get better soon. No, he's... Lazarus, fine, he's dead.
Yeah.
And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Believe what? Now you will really believe. Believe what? He says, come, let's go see him. Really believe what? Really believe that death isn't the end. Because now, in the next one...
That I'm the resurrection and the life.
And in the next one, he raises Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah. What's he say there?
Jesus, Martha's all upset.
Right.
Why did it take you 4 days to get here? What the F's going on? Right? Right? And Jesus is like...
Jesus I'm like, on foot here.
Yeah, yeah. Right? No, my disciples were frustrating me.
The Uber had a surge moment.
I had to make an example out of Lazarus sleeping so I could come here and raise him. Because back in the ancient days, if you're gone past, you know, 4 days, I mean, even today, I mean, if the body's gone, if the body's laying there for 4 days, it starts to decompose.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're just like, there's no way he's raising this guy from the dead.
She even says that. Doesn't she say
that? The worms are already, I mean, on this guy.
It's starting to smell.
It's starting to smell. I think she does.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Jesus told her, I am the resurrection, just like you said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever.
Wow. It doubled
that. Wait a minute. Anyone who lives in me, lives in me. Lives in me. The Father's in me. I am in you.
Yeah.
And we. So then we are in him.
I am the light.
Everyone.
You are the light.
Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. I love how.
Double down.
I wish it was just never die. But instead it's never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? See, it all comes down to that belief, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe this? So you just got to believe. Of course we believe it. Because he demonstrated it. He's the pattern. And all of nature is the pattern, right? Mm-hmm. And this comes back to where the kingdom is. It's all around you. It's within you.
Right.
Well, if it's all around us and within us, then we're simply sleeping. And also, he refers to sleeping as not seeing, too, mm-hmm. right? He refers to sleeping in a way of not seeing your real worth, not seeing that you are a son of God, not seeing that you are divine, not believing that you were made for a divine purpose. That sleeping is referred to in the Bible as that too, as not believing.
Yes.
Sleeping is referred to in the Bible as not believing and being blind, right? Once you were blind, now you can see. And so these versions of sleep have a common thread. And the common thread is not believing that you live forever. The common thread in this analogy for sleep is that you don't believe that you're going to live forever and you're a son of God and you're divine and you're here for divine purpose and you are made perfect just the way you are.
Mm-hmm. So it's unbelief.
It's unbelief. That's the reason you die. Lazarus is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, he's sleeping.
That's... Right?
Lazarus is dead. Our friend Lazarus is dead. They're calling. They want you to go check him out and you know, you can do something. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying he's dead. He's saying he's fallen asleep.
He's just sleeping.
Yeah, he's just sleeping. And they go, well, if he's sleeping, he'll soon get better. No, he's not going to get better without me. Fine, he's dead. And for your sakes, right. I'm glad he wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come on, let's go see him. Meanwhile, no, he's pushing back. And he doesn't push back just once. He pushes back all the time. If you read the New Testament, anytime someone is saying, oh, we're going to die, or he's dead,
He's constantly doubling down.
He's constantly just going, no, they're sleeping.
Because you don't understand.
These people are sleeping.
Right.
What sleeping? What do you mean sleeping? I mean not believing. Yeah. Because there is no death.
Right.
Okay, so.
Here, how about this? John 5, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. 25. Most assuredly, again, 24 and 25. Yeah. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is. It's now. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live.
Will live. And those who hear will live. And what is that? That's so the download. That's the Holy Spirit.
Is this right here? Yes. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Is he referring to dead people? No.
No, he's referring to sleeping people.
Right.
Sleeping people and dead people are one and the same.
Right.
And also, there's another verse where he goes,
because death is a lie. He can't be referring to dead people.
No. It's not, people not in who that are way. Sleeping.
Right.
And he says, one time he asked someone to follow him, and he goes, well, I would follow you, master, but I got to go bury my father. And he goes, no, you don't do that. You follow me now. Let the dead bury the dead.
There we go.
Let the dead bury the dead. Yes. Well, what's that mean? Who's he referring to there? He's referring to people that are going to bury somebody that's dead as the same people being dead. Why? What's the common thread? Their belief.
That's it.
It's their belief that their friend is dead. Meanwhile, I've had a lot of death in the last 5 years, and I don't refer to it as death at all anymore.
I know. I stopped doing that too.
Because it's not true.
It's not.
And the more I tell myself that, the more I lock myself into this belief that I'm going to go that direction.
Would you say it gives you more peace of mind?
Beyond, yes. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Peace of mind. I was waiting for that. I mean, I'm like,
peace of mind is a, you know, that's too low.
Yeah.
I know. I interact with them.
You believe.
I talk to them.
Right.
I mean, I'm still interacting. I have visions of my friend George. I have visions of my grandfather. Visions of my dad that are as real as you sitting here.
I know.
You know? And it's because I have suspended my belief in death or them not being here. Just because they're not here physically doesn't mean they're not here. I'm just tired of that. And then the master says, within you, all around you. Mm-hmm. And if they're in heaven, which they are, then they're with me all around me. They're within me too. And so that is the resurrection. That is resurrection right there. Just believing that is a resurrection, right? So there's different forms of resurrection. You have your mental resurrection. Mm-hmm. You have your intellectual resurrection. Mental and intellectual are different. Intellectual is illogical, right? Mental is like who you believe you are. Okay, so there's resurrections all the time. There's resurrections in even small moments. You didn't used to work out. You were overweight or you were untoned. Or then you start working out. Isn't that a resurrection of your body? I mean, yeah. I'm 47 and, you know, I'm not trying to put a feather in my cap, but I look better than I did when I was 27.
Yes.
So isn't that a resurrection?
You do. God, you look so.
You're so sweet. Anyway, but isn't that a resurrection? So we got
So
we got the seasons resurrection. We got the day resurrects every day. We have us going to sleep and waking up as a resurrection.
Yeah, these are all forms of transformation.
Transformation, resurrection, because resurrection.
Old and new.
Meaning you're going to be better than you were.
Right.
Right? It's not resurrection unless you're better than you were.
It's leveling
higher
up.
Understanding.
You're leveling up.
Okay. So we have those types. But what about the physical resurrection that Jesus actually accomplished, right? Now, he did resurrect Lazarus, but did Lazarus end up dying again in old age? I mean, I don't know, but we know that Jesus never did. He never has to die again, right? Or quote unquote die on the cross, whatever it was.
Yeah, crucify.
What we perceive that it was, but obviously it wasn't because he never died. He was alive. Okay, now, when he resurrects physically, we want to do that. What's that going to look like? So what is that going to look like? Mm-hmm. If we want to resurrect as well, like he did, what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. It looks like your everyday life. nowhere in here is it like Jesus is glowing and like, okay, there's the transfiguration on top of the hill when he shows people his body of light.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's different than the resurrection when the stones rolled away and he's not in there.
Right.
When people see him again, he's regenerated and he looks similar to what he just looked like when he was crucified. Right. Because he eats with the disciples, doubting Thomas touches his wound.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the, you know, how is his physical body different than our physical body right now in the resurrection?
Not at all.
I mean, right? I don't think so. I mean, it's he's literally physically there. Now he does display some other powers that he didn't display before. Like he tells the disciples to meet me way over here, miles away, and he doesn't walk with them anymore. He just teleports basically.
Uh-huh.
He also appears to the two men on the road and they don't even recognize him. So he's kind of like some kind of chameleon type power there.
This is after.
Yeah. This mm-hmm. is after during the, after the resurrection. So, right. But my point is this, we're going to be resurrected. And what's that going to look like? It's going to look like right now, looking at yourself in the mirror, looking at your friend across the table from you. Because for all intents and purposes, Jesus is as physical as he was before when he was crucified. Go ahead.
I just found this one here, Matthew 16:24-26. Take up your cross and follow Jesus, right? Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find life.
Right.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?
Beautiful.
Right? So he's saying right there, take up your cross and follow me.
Right. And that's the pattern.
So everybody is going to get crucified.
Right. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Jesus is the pattern for resurrection, for your own resurrection, right? You got the cross, that's suffering.
Right.
Then from there, it's got to be a deep suffering.
That's the flesh.
And, right? And it's got to be a deep spirit. Suffering where you're just done.
Oh, yeah.
Why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
I mean, he's even asking God, how much more do I have to suffer, right? So mm-hmm. it's an intense suffering that leads to the resurrection,
mm-hmm.
the phoenix rising or the new
ascension.
The ascension. Okay, right.
So
you can't have resurrection without ascension. You can't have ascension without resurrection.
Right. So how come, why is this? We had this conversation with the church. Everybody has that necklace of Jesus crucified.
Yeah.
It's in every church.
Oh, it is. And in the Catholic church, he's bloody. I mean, it's
yeah, it's and really
it's
graphic.
Really graphic.
And we've seen
like
this.
I don't want to take the kids in. It's right. Rated R. The crucifixion.
Why does that get glorification more than the ascension? The picture of Jesus ascending, where he's got the robe and his palms are out.
His head's lifted. He's lifting into the skies.
Why is that? I was thinking.
Right.
Is it just because people are so addicted to suffering that they. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. They can only identify with the suffering portion, not the resurrection portion.
People love suffering. They love...
The whole world is just... They can't get... They leave Jesus on the cross.
That's why they love watching these reality shows and these, you know...
Right, right. Misery loves company.
Yes, you've heard that a thousand times.
But let's change it. Let's change it to suffering loves company. Right?
Right? Oh my God!
Because people get together, they talk about. So how's it going? Oh,
yeah. When you start talking about something, out,
and they go, "Oh yeah, me too."
Oh, yeah,
and
I can relate to that.
And then
suffering.
We're just less than.
Bouncing it back and forth.
And then they wonder
3D
why. And then
suffering. 3D suffering. That's what it is.
Where two or more are gathered, I am with you. Well, what if? Okay, so what if he's with you and you're just talking about suffering all the time? Well, any good father is going to give you what you want, and so then the days ahead, you suffer even more.
Oh, because everybody gets
right,
what they want.
Because everybody gets what they want.
Like it or not.
And we're two of them.
Why do people like suffering?
I don't know.
It's but everywhere.
However,
because they can relate.
You're not going to get to the resurrection without it.
It's, so it's 3D versus 5D. I mean, that's what this is.
Everybody's
3D world
halfway
suffering,
there.
5D world ascension.
Right.
No suffering.
Right.
The kingdom.
You have to suffer so much where you're sick of suffering, where your only way out.
That's is that within, bottom.
Right? Your yes. only way out is to believe the master now. You've tried everything else.
Yes.
And after that is the resurrection. So if you're at a point in your life where you're just like, I'm tired of the lessons. I'm tired of the suffering, whether it's out there in the world that you're seeing or whether it's your own suffering that you're doing, whether it's mentally, physically, whatever it may be.
Right.
When you are finally at that point, but you've got to be really at that point where you're just like, God, why have you forsaken me? Because remember, Jesus is the pattern.
Yeah.
And that point when he's on the cross and he says, why have you forsaken me? Boom. That's when God saves him. That's when boom, he lets his spirit and he goes into the etheric realm and they take him down from the cross.
I mean, that's the biggest W in history, right? Died for all our sins,
right?
And brought the kingdom back to earth.
Absolutely.
Right? The fall of man, it's all, proved. Everything's done. It's a done deal. He wins the final four.
Well, it's
right?
not a done deal until people see him resurrected.
So the ascension
right.
is actually lifting the trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So he gets resurrected. He does a little more of his teachings. And then it's the ascension. I'm going to go away. That's when he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will bring you knowledge of all things. Right. And then he ascends into the freaking sky for reals.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to do all those same things. And we do.
And arguably daily.
Arguably daily. Exactly. The pattern is there even on the smallest level, whether it's the flower you just picked or whether it's yourself, whether you just lost a relationship or you just right. lost a job or you, it doesn't matter what, or you just lost a loved one. Look, when your dad dies, I mean, you're not going to be the same person the next day that you were when your dad was alive, right? You've got to heal. You've got to go through all these different emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Same with losing a good job that you had, then you start worrying. I mean, all this is resurrection life.
Any type of suffering
leads to resurrection.
L, right? You have to take that L to get the W.
Yeah, it can lead to resurrection. Right. It eventually will for everybody, but everyone's threshold is different. And it's the type of resurrection you want. Some people only want the resurrection of a new job. The new job's been resurrected for them,
mm-hmm.
right? So a job's been, or they only want the body, or they only want the material items, or they want, but you have to want it all at the end. You have to just be tired of it all. And that's when the resurrection of the spirit, that's when the born again can come
from within.
Right. And that's where you have throwing off the old man, putting off the old man. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, Colossians 3 verse 9 and 10, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Really, right?
Wow, this
and
is heavy.
Right? And his name's I Am, and we were created yes. in the image, right? And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's
gonna, in me, I am in you.
He's going to bring you knowledge of all things.
Yeah, I love how he did. Right?
Do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self.
Mm-hmm.
You have to lay aside the old self with its evil practices. What was evil about it? Well, the suffering wouldn't happen if you were on the wrong path, right?
Yeah.
You're on the wrong path. That's what leads to suffering. Being on the right path doesn't lead to suffering. So
yeah.
with its evil practice, you have to lay aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge. So you're being renewed to a true knowledge as opposed to what you believed before was a false knowledge. You see, you're being renewed to a true knowledge. That says that the other knowledge you were a part of with the old self was a false knowledge.
Wow.
And it's according to the image of the one who created him.
I had never heard that one, that Colossians scripture. That's deep. I love that.
Okay. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. What's the desire of the flesh? Unbelief.
Yeah.
It's unbelief, right? To worry about the food, worry about the clothes, worry about the job, worry about
yeah,
the
right.
That's the flesh. 3D is
the flesh. 3D is suffering. The flesh. Suffering,
yes.
And so these are in opposition to one another. You can't believe one and believe the other. You can't believe both. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have the knowledge of the spirit and believe the flesh and believe the 3D.
You can't serve two masters.
Right. If we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Okay. So you got the cross, you have to have the suffering in order to have the resurrection. When you have the resurrection, you've got the phoenix rising.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
And here's Rumi. He was an Islamic theologian. And he says, a heart filled with love is like a phoenix that no cage can imprison. Okay. And so then he has another quote that's great, right? For the phoenix rising. Rumi. And he's one of these Islamic masters.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to resist the changes that come your way. Instead, let life live through you. And do not worry if your life is turned upside down. Do not worry if your life is turned upside down.
Because, yeah.
Right? How do you know? Listen, he says, how do you know that the side you are used to is better than the one to come? You don't.
You just don't. You right? just have you to have that faith.
You have to have that faith. And you have to have that belief. And then you have to have that. And then you have to have that love.
Right.
Because if you have all three, then nothing can harm you.
And no fear.
Right.
What are you to be afraid of?
You have the authority. I have given you all authority
over
the enemy and his powers. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and not be harmed.
That's with what that the master belief, says. The only key, to right? That, you got to have that belief.
You got to believe it.
And that faith.
You got to believe it, and that's where the resurrection comes. So when the resurrection comes, it goes from belief to knowing, right? Because so he's on the cross. All this stuff's happening. He finally gives his spirit up. Why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
Then it's the resurrection. So people are believing, but after the resurrection, there's no more need for belief, dude. Right? Now they know. Now it's clear. We just saw him die 3 days ago. Now the thing's rolled away and he's standing in front. I'm putting my fingers in his wound and I'm eating fish with him.
Yeah.
Right? And he's appearing to 500 people. He's just walking around. Even secular historical figures write about seeing Jesus.
So would you say that's the next step? After the belief, you seal the deal with belief. Now you just
know. You can resurrect.
It's just a know.
Yes.
It's a knowing.
So as you're suffering, if you don't believe, you're just going to keep suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the wages of not believing is death. The wages of not believing is suffering, right?
Yeah.
So you believe through the suffering. And then if you hold on to the belief and you're tired of suffering, then the resurrection or the knowing, that's when the spirit can descend on you like a dove.
Yeah.
That's when you know. That's when you get the download where this isn't a guess anymore. It's you know.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
So John 5:28.
That's the resurrection.
Do not marvel at this.
Oh.
For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.
There it is. So everyone's going to be resurrected. And when he says to those who have done evil, the resurrection of condemnation, that's just more suffering.
Yeah, that's just going right back to the three.
Yeah, it's just going, they're just going to be on that wheel, the hamster wheel, round and round we go. It's
you're
not
going
like,
back to the flesh and out of the spirit.
Right, and you're going to, you want to suffer, everybody's going to get what they want, whether they like it or not. So you're going to keep suffering until you decide not to.
Yeah.
Until you believe enough to get to the resurrection so you can know.
Yes.
And then you can ascend.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it look like? Is Jesus walking around? Is it?
It's the kingdom. I mean, he just said it.
Right. You know, Jesus resurrects, and is he walking around like a ghost? Are people putting their hands through him? Is he eating the fish? You can see the fish fall through him and stuff? No. He looks like you and me. He looks like you and me.
Right.
So what's the difference between his resurrection and our resurrection? What's it going to look like? We're going to get beams of light, beam me up, Scotty? No, it's going to look like this. And so we're arguing that we're resurrected now.
Yes.
We're resurrected now. Okay? And the sleep, the awake, the no death, the resurrection life. He's talking about resurrection. Don't forget, he's talking about resurrection before he even gets crucified. So he's backing us up on this episode.
And that's when he comes back, you know, and these people, they don't believe.
Right.
I mean, arguably it looks the same.
Even he says the disciples, I'm glad Lazarus is, you know, I'm glad I took 4 days. Now you're really going to believe. Basically, you're going to know because I'm going to raise him up right in front of you.
Yeah.
So there's different versions of resurrection. And we've shown you through all the different examples, even mm-hmm. Jesus refers to life and death as the day and the night,
mm-hmm.
Whether you can see or whether you're in darkness, right? But even in darkness, you have the beautiful stars and the beautiful moon, right? There's always light at the end of the darkness tunnel. And so you just have to get through that. And just know that when you're suffering and when you're tired of it and when you just want it to be over, that's when you're at the precipice.
You're right there.
You're right there, and you just got to believe through that, and boom, the resurrection.
Knowledge of all things.
Why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, guys. This was a lot of fun. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's our Easter episode. There it was. Thanks for doing this with me again, Tim. Love you so much.
I love you too,
Tim Bot Das.
I love you.
And I am The Code, your host. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Laters.
Bye-bye.